It's Monday, 20th of October 2014. This is HPR episode 1621 entitled Ogkamp Interview with James Tate and is part of the series Interviews. It is hosted by Corinominal and is about 12 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to Corinominal at corinominal.org or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is a short interview with James Tate of Canonical.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everyone, this is Hacker Public Radio and my name is Philip Newborough. Today's episode of HPR consists of an interview I conducted with James Tate of Canonical. The interview was recorded at Ogkamp 14, held in Oxford in the UK on the weekend of October the 4th, 2014. In the interview, James talks about his work on the Ubuntu One project and the Ubuntu Phone project. On a personal note, I would just like to say that I've known James for a while now. He's a super nice guy and was a pleasure to interview. So, on to the interview. Okay, so I'm at Ogkamp and I'm speaking with...
James Tate.
Hello, James.
Hello.
So, who do you work for?
I work for Canonical. I'm on the online services team. So I started there just over 4 years ago. On Ubuntu One, God rest its soul.
Yeah, God rest its soul. That's a shame, that shut down. So, what was your job? What were you doing on Ubuntu One?
Quite a wide range of stuff, really, quite a varied role. To begin with, I was focused on contact sync, but I got involved in some of the file syncing services as well. The photo galleries, music streaming, the whole gamut really of what Ubuntu One offered.
Oh, that sounds pretty interesting. It's a shame they shut it down really, because I think it was quite a useful service. And when I tried the first version of Ubuntu, where Ubuntu One wasn't there, it was kind of, it was a bit sad, but hey, never mind, things move on. So what are you working on now?
Right now I'm working on the Click Package Index, which is part of the whole stack of the new Ubuntu software store. So the click package index is the metadata store, the bit that you search so that you can find your click index, your click apps on your Ubuntu device, phone, tablet, and soon to be desktop.
All right, that's pretty interesting. So I would imagine that's quite an integral feature, being able to search and find, the application you want on the, especially now that it's cross-platform.
It's cross-platform, yeah. Most of the things in there at the moment are either platform agnostic or for the ARM platform, which is what the phones are based on. But I think we do have some AMD 64 and i386 things in there as well. So.
Okay, cool. So regarding Ubuntu Phone, I've heard quite a lot about it this weekend. In fact, it's sort of like, whenever I've spoken to somebody who works at Canonical, they've sort of like said that a lot of the effort at the moment is geared towards Ubuntu Phone. Are you using Ubuntu Phone yourself at the moment?
Yeah, it's been my only phone OS since before Ogkamp last year, and so it's good enough for me.
Oh well, that kind of works. So, do you carry a backup phone?
No.
It's your only phone. And what hardware are you running it on?
That's on a Nexus 4.
Right, so that's how old's the Nexus 4? Is it a couple of years, is it?
Yeah, it must be a couple of years old now. I think I've had it about 18 months, so.
All right, so is there a kind of like a list of devices
that are compatible with Ubuntu Phone?
There's a list of officially supported devices, which I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what they all are, but there's the Nexus 4, the BQ device, we have some of the Nexus tablets, I think, and then somewhere on the wiki, there's a list of other active ports where people have managed to get Ubuntu Phone running on other devices.
Oh, sweet. So, if I was to, how would you sell Ubuntu Phone to someone like me? Who, I mean, I've got a. it's a tricky question. So, I've got a Android. What have I got? A HTC One Mate, M8. It's a pretty nice phone. Yeah, it's got most things on there that I need. It's also got one of the apps that I use quite often is I think it's Juice SSH. It's like a SSH client, so I can just sort of like connect to my server at home, and you know, if I need to do anything semi-important, whatever that might be, I can do it. So what would the major selling feature for me of Ubuntu Phone be?
I don't think we have an SSH client yet. We have a terminal though. I mean, that's got to be a winner. Major selling point, let me think. It's developed out in the open. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's probably got as much exposure as maybe, yeah, maybe it could have had, but it is developed out in the open, and we are getting community feedback, and we're trying to make it as much as possible a phone that people want to use. So we are listening to what we're doing, user research, and we're having people pulled in off the streets to test devices and listening to what they say and tweaking the experience based on that.
Well, it kind of sounds like a properly interesting project. I've just kind of not heard much about it. What do you put that down to?
I think there's a lot going about in a certain audience. I mean, there is a community around it, and we have the community people developing core apps who are obviously quite close to the project. There's also a few kind of community champions who aren't associated with the core apps but have taken it upon themselves to get involved early on. And I think it appeals to that audience. It is getting out there, but it's not something that we've not done a massive concerted marketing campaign and kind of thrust it in people's faces.
Do you think, I'm not sure, have you got any hardware? Have I read in the news lately you've got some hardware manufacturers sort of like lined up so that it'll come shipped, sort of pre-installed?
Yeah, we've got BQ. We're a Spanish manufacturer, and they'll be serving the European market. And Meizu is the other one we've got, and they're in China.
All right, so maybe the big marketing push will come when these hardware devices sort of like get released and become publicly available.
I'm hoping so. Yeah, I don't know the details of the marketing plan at the moment, but. I do know that the feedback we've had has been positive, so the manufacturers are happy.
Well, that's what you want, isn't it? So, it sounds pretty interesting. I mean, effectively, Ubuntu's, I'm not going to say Ubuntu's Debian, but it's a Debian-based system. Does that follow through onto the phone as well? Do you pull anything from the sort of like the Debian repositories for the phone?
Yes, the Ubuntu phone, the core OS is the same OS you would have on your desktop. We have a Linux kernel, we have used the same user space utilities, we have Upstart for the initialization daemon. So many of the core features that you would have on your phone will be exactly the same as you have on the desktop. The main difference is that the packages, the kind of the software store, is going to be these Qlik packages now rather than Deb packages. It's a kind of an implementation detail, but a Qlik package is essentially a dev package with all the requirements and dependencies bundled in. But it means we can have a read-only system image, and we can upgrade just the core OS with deltas to the system image, and we do that over the air, so we can push those out.
Oh, that sounds pretty interesting, actually. So, oh, cool. Well, thanks for talking to me today, James. It's been enlightening.
No problem at all.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.